Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
These guys have been decomposing for years. The Flowerland Garden Show is playing live on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And good morning, my friends, across the fruited and rooted plain. It's the Flowerland Show. It's that time again. A beautiful Saturday morning. Rick, Doug, Christie, left to right across your radio dial. Award-winning engineer, producer extraordinaire, John Ilk is at the controls. And behind the glass, already busy lining up phone calls, Dusty Miller on your Saturday morning. You want to talk to Dusty, 616-774-2424. But if you talk to Dusty, bear in mind, she'll pass you along to us.
Is that a threat?
Good morning, Doug Christie.
Good morning.
Sun's shining. It's spring. Beautiful. 2021. Can you believe the pear trees out there?
Beautiful. All the flowering trees.
And it causes you to realize how many pear trees there are out there. Unbelievable driving in this morning.
I'd rather see a flowering crab or a magnolia or...
Right, but there are a lot of wild cherries that are white. They look kind of the same, too, yeah. So...
616-774-2424. The Phenology Network still saying we have spring leaf out about 20 days early this year, but everything kind of suspended over the past few days, and that includes soil temperatures with the, we're going to call it coolish temperatures.
That works. Technically, we're still going to be seasonal today because we're going to be 57 today, which is seasonal.
Looks cold.
We're not talking about next week.
Next week looks cold.
You stop. The S word is next week.
Soil temperatures have dropped back into the 50s, and growing degree day accumulation. Of course, once you accumulate days, they're there. And we are still well above the four-year average. Yesterday, I looked, 118 accumulated days.
And like snow, that when it accumulates, it finally does melt eventually.
If you use 50 degrees as a base, the four-year average, 30 days. So it's not a fig leaf of your imagination.
I got to say, the lilac flowers, they're still nice and tight, but the clusters for those flowers are on my plants right now. You can see them.
Think about it, though, with all these blooms out there and then cold, coolish weather comes along. It really slows down the activity as far as pollinators are concerned and bees. And we'll talk about that on today's show coming up here on the Flowerland Show. We're going to talk to Nick Kaminsky. We've talked to Nick before. He is a veteran, United States Marine. And he started something called Heroes to Hives. We're going to talk to him about bee swarms, because soon we're going to see bee swarms causes fear for some people. Do not fear. And Nick will talk us through it. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. 616-774-2424. In addition to the pears in bloom, what about those June berries?
Yes, yes.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful white flowers, multi-stem, beautiful. Yep. And the star magnolias as well.
Star magnolias.
I saw a ton of those in flower driving through the neighborhoods.
Beautiful. Yep.
I wish I had a picture of this over here, you know, what Christy's drinking today.
My consumption.
No, she's going to be bringing a 12-pack in here soon.
I know.
Leave my consumption out of this.
She's got a whole setup over there.
Yeah, and don't touch it. Don't get too close.
It's because it's in a certain order. You don't mess
it's
with
in a certain
the
order.
Process.
Oh, my. 616-774-2424, our number. By the way, for all the people calling and messaging also about worrying about the plants that are popping out of the ground, like bleeding hearts or tulips or peonies.
It is what it is.
Exactly. Keep your blankets, your blankies on your
especially
bed.
Especially your plastic. Keep that away from everything.
And they're going to be fine. They're hardened off, and they will do just fine. 616-774-2424. We usually have a zinger frost anyhow right around Arbor Day. This year, that would be, it's always the last Friday in April, so this year it would be April 30th. We would celebrate Arbor Day. It's not the same in every state. I think in Florida, it's like the third Friday in January.
Well, it's because their spring comes different, right?
You yeah.
I mean, much earlier. So.
Third Friday.
We don't get hurricanes. I figure it's a trade-off.
Yeah, exactly. In regards to the GDD, the growing degree day accumulation and temperatures, that sort of thing, I posted a story on the blog, myflowerland.com. So read that blog at myflowerland.com. Posted some pictures also from this past week. Of course, look for Flowerland also on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you very much. We appreciate that. Wanted to mention, too, before we go to break and then your calls, and now's a great time to call. Give Dusty a call, 616-774-2424. Wanted to mention that this week, and I don't know if you've got, John, it was a popular song at that time of the at that time in our history. Paul Simon's Still Crazy After All These Years. This week marks my 45th year
in this industry. We should have brought you a cake.
Yeah, no kidding.
Was it Send in the Clowns big day?
Yes, it was. Appropriately so. And Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together. But that was 40. So 40,
or A Need for a Paycheck Will Keep Us Together.
So 45 years for me in the industry. For Doug.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you. Doug, 44 years.
I started when I was six.
And Christy, 31 years.
I was hatched in the growing division. Yeah. Fed lots of Osmocote to get me where I am today.
31 years. And, John, let's open up Dusty's mic over there because Dusty's the youngster in the group here. Dusty, 3 years in the garden center industry.
And it's been my favorite job ever.
Outstanding.
I don't even want to call it a job. It's just funness.
She's just having fun over there behind the glass.
Oh, I have great fun when I'm out at the stores talking to our customers who come in. It's always interesting to see them, to interact with them, to hear from year to year, because we have a lot of loyal customers, and to hear from year to year how things are going and how things are progressing and their frustrations and triumphs, and it is cool.
Well, and that's the fun thing about this show also. So if you figure for me this week, 45 years, Doug, 44 years, Christy, 31 years. Collectively, between the three of us, that's 120 years in the garden center industry. And then add Dusty's 3 years. Now we're at 123 years. What's the point? Point is this.
We've made a lot of mistakes.
No. Well, that too. We're tired.
We're tired.
I'm real tired.
We're just getting going.
I thought it was 2001 this morning, so I'm really tired.
And I want to tell our listeners that Flowerland is hiring, and what a great industry to be in. We found that out last year, too. The garden center industry is an incredible industry to be in, and Flowerland's hiring. So come on in, because after 123 years...
And no day is ever like the one before. So if you're somebody who doesn't like the same old blah, blah, blah every day, no day is like ever like the day before. Every day is a new adventure and a new thing.
Yeah. John, what song is this? Oh, Still Crazy After All These Years. Yeah.
Kind of.
Does it ever get there?
I was going to say, it's kind of depressing music. I don't know.
Well, it was big 45 years ago.
Yeah, I looked up the songs that were number ones when I started at Flowerland. We won't be playing any of those. How depressing.
We'll take a break and get to your phone calls here on the Flowerland Show. Rick, Doug, Christy on your Saturday morning. We'll be right back.
Wood Radio's Flowerland Garden Show is on the air on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Apparently, Dusty knows this song because she's singing along.
It's the Flowerland Show. Your Saturday morning. Wake up, here we go. Rick, Doug, and Christy, two fun guys in a crackpot. Yeah, Captain and Tennille.
A lot better than the last one.
That song was a big hit the year I started in the industry, 1976.
Did you have a captain's hat?
I don't have one.
No, did you back one? Then?
No. No.
You weren't one of the cool kids, Sailor, were you?
The Sailor hat?
Oh, yeah, I was. We wore leisure suits.
You weren't one of the cool kids. Yeah, I've seen that picture of you in the green leisure suit.
All right, we're going to get right back to two busy phone lines coming up to the bottom of the hour. Nick Kaminsky, Heroes to Hives. Let's start here this morning with Mitchell in Grand Rapids. Mitchell, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Hey there.
Hi, Mitchell.
Muskrat Love.
Yes, yes. We're trying to avoid playing that one. That's
my question is that bad. There's this huge amount. There's this huge circle of irises that got all kinds of weeds and stuff in them. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to take them out of a circle and put them in a straight line. Is this a bad time to do that?
You can do it, Mitchell. If you were to say the optimum time to dig up iris rhizomes and replant them, it'd be August and September. That's the ideal time?
Ideal, but it can be done.
But it can be done, exactly.
Because they're not really out of the gate too much.
Yeah, but they probably won't stay there because they don't know lines.
They don't know how to stay in line, so you'll be fighting that one for a little bit.
I think that it would probably help them anyway because they're so crammed up.
Yes.
That if I spread them out and I give them good soil and stuff, I think they'll come back too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not a problem to move them right now, like I said, but it's if we talk to people who are specializing in iris growing, they will tell you August, September is the ideal window.
And you're wise to do that because what you have to do is divide iris. They get a little crowded.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, and they'll die out from the center. And by the way, you see that with ornamental grasses right now that have been cut back. You see that the eye of the hurricane in the center, and they die out in the center unless you dig them up and divide them. So, Mitchell,
which is an easy job. I tell you, I don't know what's more difficult. Iris, splitting irises or splitting ornamental grasses?
Ornamental grasses. I had to use a pickup truck to pull one out.
I'll tell you, both are tough.
They're a job. Bill's calling from Caledonia this morning. Bill, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Morning. How are you this morning?
Bill, staying grounded. What's going on?
Well, I got a quick question for you. Our Oriole feeder that we have every year we put up and we hang it off of a shepherd's hook. Put the liquid on one side and the grape jelly on the other.
Yeah.
We like a way to keep the ants out of there. Any suggestions?
Well, on the liquid feeders, they do make like what they call ant bells that you can hang above the actual feeder. On the jelly side, it's a lot harder because unless you put some sort of sticky coating or something to keep the ants from climbing up the shepherd's rod, and you got to replenish that, you're not going to keep them out of that jelly.
Okay, well, what would I put on there then?
There's actually a product called Insect Trap Coating. It's harmless. There's nothing toxic about it. It's just a sticky compound. It's clear, and you would put that on the shepherd's pole, and if the ants try to crawl up it, they'll get stuck in it.
Great. Well, we'll see if we can catch a bunch of ants.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bill. 616-774-2424. Our number here on the Flowerland Show, Joe is calling from Ada this morning. Joe, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Yeah, I've got potatoes I harvested last year. They're in aerated crates in the garage. Not many left, but the ones that are left are kind of little shriveled, and the sprouts are like 3-4 inches.
Okay.
Do I plant them or just keep using them up or pitch them?
Well, seed potatoes, generally you're going to plant about 3 weeks before the average date of the last frost. And for us, that's around May 10. So
we're getting close to that
window.
So
you're getting close. You know, once the foliage emerges, if you get a freeze, yeah, you're going to have some, you're going
to
have
damage. Were these seed potatoes to start with? These weren't potatoes you bought at the store, correct?
Yeah, they were seed potatoes to start with. And obviously I harvested them in the fall and we've had them all winter long. We haven't had to buy any potatoes.
Wow, that's great. That's great. This spuds for you. That's fabulous.
But yeah, you're getting into the like window where you could plant. Yes.
Okay, so these are plantable potatoes.
Yes.
As long as they're not dry.
Make sure you got, you know, like you have in the past, I'm sure, a good sunny spot and well-drained soil.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
No problem.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. 616-774-2424. This from Cal, a listener to our show. He sends me, what are the two strongest days of the week? Do you guys know what the two strongest days of the week are?
Saturday and Sunday.
Very, very good. You know why? Because the other 5 days are weekdays.
Oh.
Way to go, Cal. Thank you for that joke. That's
a
beauty.
That's like a third grade joke, and for some reason I knew the answer, but I didn't know why.
Wait a minute. What makes it a third grade joke? Oh, that's an outstanding joke.
Please.
Sundays and Saturdays, the strongest days of the week. The other 5 days are weekdays. What was it I saw yesterday? Here it is. I saw this yesterday, and I made note of it. You know, Doug, maybe you know the name of the business, but is it Purity Gas Cylinders or something on 20 East Street there?
Yeah.
They always these puns up on the sign. Yeah, they had a beauty yesterday. I wrote it down just for you, Christy.
Great.
Don't roll your eyes until you hear it at least, okay? Give it a chance.
If you think it's great, it's already scary.
It's outstanding. It's outstanding. The sign out by the side of the road says, I have chicken-proofed my lawn. I have chicken-proofed my lawn. And you wait for the sign to change, and it says, it's impeccable. Outstanding. John, no applause for that? Come on. I have chicken-proofed my lawn. Crickets, come on.
I love it.
That's good stuff. That's good material. I'm going to add that to my Holiday Inn act. In the future.
Yeah, it'll bring people
when
in.
I can get back on the road.
You know, there's those big crowds at the Holiday Inn right now clamoring
for
his performance.
I know, that's my point. When I can get back on the road.
Yeah.
I have chicken-proofed my lawn. It's impeccable.
Okay, I get to say this. You no longer get to complain about deer.
Why is that?
Because my father-in-law was cruising down Patterson there by 28th Street, where the cemetery sits on the corner. Mm-hmm. And right behind there's a big water hot tower. And he and my niece were coming home from dinner last night, and they stopped right on the road. And I'm like, that's not really a good idea. They started counting deer. They lost count at 51 deer in clusters in that field.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, at my house, they ring the doorbell and ask for treats.
It's by the airport and by 28th Street the East Beltline.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Nick Kaminsky. He is a Michigan-based beekeeper and a Heroes to Hives trainer. We had him on the show here in studio a few years ago. He's just a fabulous gentleman. He was in the United States Marine Corps, and he had two combat deployments to Iraq and one to Afghanistan. 11 years and 7 months of service, and then he departed the armed forces and began beekeeping, and then went on later to attend Heroes to Hives. So he is a veteran entrepreneur. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about something a lot of people don't necessarily think about, but is important to think about. Of course, our honeybees. Of course, our pollinators. And honeybee swarms. So we'll talk about that on the show. Coming up on the show also, we'll talk about what's going on in Las Vegas.
I thought it was supposed to stay in Las Vegas. We can't talk about
We're
it.
We're not talking about it.
We're going to talk about
it. Oh, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm getting my lawyer.
And then why are oak trees so important? Oak trees have a tendency to get a bad rap. You know, they can be messy, lots of bugs, etc., etc., but oak trees...
They live so long.
Doug's messy, and he's got a few bugs and quirks. We still like him.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. So we'll talk about that also.
That's true.
Coming up on the show. Well, yeah, I got
to agree with her.
616-774-2424, our number here on 44 years, Doug.
Yeah, 45 for you.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. Yeah. Appreciate that. I have youngsters at Flowerland who say to me, I'm older than dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Actually, you're older than many of our employees. You've been working at Flowerland longer than many of our employees have been alive.
Thank you for the reminder. With that, we'll break for news, and then Nick Kamensky, we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. It's the Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. Stay tuned. Wanna get a belly full of-
If you plant it, mow it, or grow it, they know it. Now, more of Rick, Doug, and Christy and the Flowerland Garden Show on Wood Radio.
When the shapes are drawn and the light of the moon is back.
Good morning, my friends. It's the Flowerland Show. Rick, Doug, Christy. Engineer, producer extraordinaire John Ilkin, Dusty Miller behind the glass, taking your calls on our show. Starting off this half hour, I've been looking forward to this. Nick Kamensky, he is a Michigan-based beekeeper and Heroes to Hives trainer. He's also a veteran, United States Marine Corps. Two combat deployments to Iraq and one to Afghanistan, 11 years and 7 months of service to our country. And now now an entrepreneur. He runs his business Hickory Tree Farm Apiaries out of his home farm in Kent City. Nick, good morning and thanks for joining us on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Nick, appreciate it so much. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for your service to our country. And thank you for your interest in honeybees. You are located in Kent City, Michigan.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, that's correct. We are based out of Kent City, Michigan. All of our bees are currently in Phoenix, Arizona, which I'll be picking them up next week and bringing them back here. But we have yards around here in Kent City where we keep our bees and produce honey and queens for sale.
So let me ask you, Nick, for people listening at home, keeping score at home, how in the world do you bring bees back from Arizona? How do you do that? What's the process?
The process is we load at night with red lights. Bees cannot see red light. We can. So that helps us keep from tripping over ourselves. And we load them up on a truck and throw a net over top of them so they can't escape. And if the sun is up, the truck is moving. And that's how we keep the bees cool and safe inside their hives all the way from Arizona back to here.
Wow, fantastic. And is it always this time of the year, Nick?
Typically, yes. 88% of the hives in the country, about 2 million, are required for almond pollination in California. So most of the hives in America, or North America for that matter, we'll make a migration up to California in January, and they'll be returning about March, April.
Nick, when they use the terminology worker bees, they're not kidding. These guys work hard, don't they?
Yeah, so your typical worker bee will travel up to 3 to 5 miles looking for forage. They can fly at about 15 miles per hour, and they can carry up to one-third of their body weight in a payload. It's very impressive what they can do in order to keep that colony supplied with lots of nectar and pollen.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, Nick, so the bees are brought back here from Arizona. They play a super important role in pollination. Let me ask you first a minute about this year's weather. It was unusually warm early. Now things have cooled off. A lot of things are in bloom. There's always the possibility of frost and snow in the forecast here over the next few weeks. What kind of challenges does that create for both you as well as the honeybees?
Well, for pollinators, this warm-cold cycle can be kind of confusing because bees are going to want to go ahead and increase that brood chamber and lay a lot of eggs and build up when we get warmer weather. And when we get colder weather, sometimes that can cause them some difficulties in keeping all those babies warm. And so they may experience some die-off from that. And then there's also difficulties presented when we get warm weather and some of the forage begins to bloom. Then we get cooler weather. It may be in bloom, but the temperature may not support their ability to fly. They need it about 46 to 50 degrees minimum on a very sunny day with no wind to be able to fly.
Okay. Yeah, that's got to be a shock to the system coming back to Michigan from
Arizona. I don't think they want
to
come back, but they're told they have to.
In this kind of weather. But, they do what they have to do.
It's not a bad deal.
Now, we're talking about a lot of bees, right, Nick? And therein lies the phrase bee swarms or honeybee swarms. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's actually the primary reason why I wanted to talk today, because I get a lot of swarm calls as a local beekeeper to go ahead and remove feral colonies from people's properties. And there's a lot that the general public misses or maybe is slightly misinformed about. And during this time of the year is when we typically experience what's called swarm season as beekeepers. And that's when we're going to be managing our managed colonies for what's called swarms. And that's when a colony splits itself in two. The old queen will fly off with half the bees and establish a new colony, and she'll leave behind a baby queen that will hatch and take over in her place.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
You go, and you don't go, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like picking teams, right? Yeah. So, Nick, and then obviously what develops is a swarm, and I would think as a beekeeper, sometimes you get panicked phone calls in regards to these swarms. Is that correct?
Yes, because when these things are in transit, so to speak, from their old home to their new home, they're very vulnerable. And oftentimes you'll find them hanging almost eye level, sometimes 30, 40 feet up, and it'll appear like a basketball of bees just hanging from the branches. And that, in all essence, is what it is. There's a queen bee inside there hanging out. All of her workers are hanging out with her, and there are scout bees that are flying out, and they're finding a new suitable location for them to move to. If you get close enough, you can actually examine the scout bees return to the swarm, climb on the outside ball of the bees, and begin doing their waggle dance to tell everybody where the hot new digs are that they found. It's pretty interesting to see.
The waggle dance. I like that. I like that. That's fabulous. And, Nick, the concern here is that if there isn't an understanding of this important process that's taking place, potentially someone may panic or want to spray or something like that. What is your best advice to people who come upon a swarm such as this? Do they reach out to someone like you?
Absolutely. They reach out to a beekeeper like myself, or they would search for a local beekeeping club. Grand Rapids has a fantastic active beekeeping club that you can find on Facebook, Grand Rapids Beekeepers. And you could contact us at Hickory Tree Farm Apiaries or any of the other local beekeepers. We'll be able to handle that for you or direct you to somebody that can, because these pollinators are very important to our agricultural system. Honeybees are not native to the U.S., but it's important that we manage them, because the diseases that affect honeybees can also be passed on to our native pollinators, affecting our ecosystem and unintended consequences. So it's really important that we get these honeybees scooped up, keep them out of people's walls, and rescued. And when they're in this swarm state, they're also extremely docile. There is no need to spray them with a water hose or wasp spray or anything. Just keep your distance and call a beekeeper, and they'll be gone before you know it.
Well, that's great advice. And, folks, it's HickoryTreeFarmApiaries.com, HickoryTreeFarmApiaries.com. His name is Nick Kaminsky. And, Nick, tell us a moment before we let you go about Heroes to Hives. If people want to Google that or look for that, tell us what Heroes to Hives is all about.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Rick. Heroes to Hives is a really fantastic program. It's offered by Michigan State University Extension, and it's been pioneered by Dr. Adam Ingrao, a doctor of entomology there at Michigan State University, and he's also an Army veteran. So Heroes to Hives is a 100% free beekeeping program for veterans and their dependents, and it gives them pretty much all the resources that they need to get out there and get started as far as a knowledge base. And it's done through an interactive online webinar series at the time due to COVID-19 restrictions. But when we're able to meet in person, we also have on-the-ground workshops where students can come out and meet and connect with veterans from all over the state and get to open up a beehive and learn some great gouge.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Nick, you are a special gentleman, I'll tell you that, and I'm thankful that you live here in West Michigan and that you would share this information with our listeners. I wish you all the best this spring. Safe travels to Arizona, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Outstanding. I relish the opportunity. Thank you, Rick.
All right. Thank you, sir. Nick Kaminsky, that's hickorytreefarmapiaries.com, or you can Google Heroes to Hives. We'll take a break here on the Flowerland Show, then get back to your phone calls. As a matter of fact, it's a great time for you to pick up the phone and call us here on the Flowerland Show. You don't need a green thumb. Any finger will do. Just dial us up. 616-774-2424. It's the Flowerland Show on your Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
We're chasing after you.
Rick Veist here, reminding you this year, be a smarty plants. That's right. Get your garden ready with organic Dairy Dew. It's available at all three Flowerland locations. Dairy Dew compost, potting soil, fertilizers, they're going to help you create the most beautiful, perfect garden bed for your healthy plants. And your garden's going to grow those colorful flowers and those robust bushes and flowering trees. And if it's a vegetable garden, well, you're going to get a high yield on your tomatoes, peppers, and strawberry plants with Dairy Dew from Flowerland. Healthy plants need healthy soil. Get that healthy soil from Dairy Dew and your garden source, Flowerland.
That's right!
Get up and boogie.
If you plant it, mow it, or grow it, they know it. Now, more of Rick, Doug, and Christy and the Flowerland Garden Show on Wood Radio.
Good morning, it's the Flowerland Show. Okay, guys, we just talked to Nick about finding a swarm of bees in the trees. How about what happened in the Polish city of, I think it's pronounced Krakow, K-R-A-K-O-W, close enough?
Good enough.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask Christy.
They were called out to a sighting of an unusual animal squatting in a residential area. A woman called with desperation in her voice, called to say the creature had been sitting in a tree across the road for 2 days.
That's right.
Everybody's scared of him, she told the authority, begging them to come out and investigate. People aren't opening their windows because they're afraid it will go into their house. This beast, this varmint, sitting in the tree.
Doug, what were you doing there?
I wasn't there.
Well, as it turns out, the beast wasn't a bird of prey. The beast was a croissant. That's right. There's even a picture of it there. It's great. The animal was not a large bird, not a rodent. Someone had suggested an iguana. Nope.
That'd be cool.
Someone had thrown a croissant, a big one, up in the tree. A flaky pastry. No, big one. I've seen big croissants before. This is a big croissant.
How big was it?
Big enough to scare this lady. The croissant was removed from the tree with all its flaky, buttery goodness, and all is well.
If it was there for 2 weeks, it wasn't flaky and buttery anymore.
It's the Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. Rick, Doug, Christy. Here in the studio, John Ilk and Dusty Miller. That was interesting with Nick, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a gentleman who's very enthusiastic about bees and pollinators and just thankful that he and people like that live here in our West Michigan community.
So the bees are in the hive and they're talking back and forth. You know, hey, when do you think we're going to Arizona, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We're going back to Michigan.
Brr!
616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Let's talk to Andrea calling from Jenison this morning. Andrea, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning, guys. I had a bloomering lilac planted a year and a half ago, and when they planted it, they fertilized it. So I think I need to do something this year. But everything I'm reading, they said a 10-10-10 fertilizer, and I went looking for it, and it was in a 30-pound bag.
Oh, no. We have small bags, 3-pound bags at Flowerland.
Oh, you do?
Of 10-10-10?
Yep.
I'd have to put the 30-pounder in my will for my kids.
No, if you go into any of the Flowerland stores and tell them that you need a 3-pound bag of 10-10-10, we'll set you up.
Okay, thank you so much, and welcome back, Christy. Glad you're back.
And
thank you.
Andrea, you have a great sense of humus. You really do.
Thanks, you too.
Good job.
Bye now.
Bye. 616-774-2424, our number. Next, we're going to talk to Ivan calling from Kentwood. Ivan, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Well, good morning. How are you? Is everybody doing this morning?
Staying grounded. Good. Staying grounded. What's going on, my friend?
Okay. Well, what I want to do is in front of my house here, I want to put in a flower garden. Mm-hmm. It's like a 4x4 spot, but there's not a lot of sunlight. Mm-hmm. And this ground has never been turned over in use for that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what is the proper way to prepare the ground.
Okay, so let's cover that.
What flowers should I use in that area to where there's not a lot of sunlight?
Sure, let's cover that a minute. First of all, when you're not dealing with a lot of sunlight, we're basically talking about a woodland setting. And so when you look at the soil, you think woodland setting. In other words, Doug, incorporating lots of organic matter.
Organic matter, yep. And that's easy enough to do, you know, turn that. Was there turf or grass there ever?
Yes, there is turf and grass there.
So you've got some sunlight.
The ground has never been really turned over or...
Yeah. So, Ivan, make sure you work in a lot of compost, like leaf compost, dairy dew.
Peat moss, whatever you have.
Yeah. Organic material worked in with the existing parent soil. As far as the plants are concerned, there are a host of wonderful plants that will grow well in shade. As a matter of fact, at myflowerland.com, under our care sheets, we have plants to grow in shady areas. And you can be very, very successful growing all kinds of, you know, the first one everyone that comes to mind for everybody is hostas. But we go way beyond hostas as far as available plants are concerned to grow in the shade and grow successfully in the shade. So I would encourage you to look for that at myflowerland.com. It's a sizable list that I created. I think there's about 75 different plants on that list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay?
Okay, that sounds very interesting. And then I think what I'll do is I'll just come down to Flowerland and have somebody help me out. And
correct.
So I can get this set up correctly and so that I can... So I can make this look the way I would like it to.
Well, generally, Ivan, what we do is we'll, like in the perennial section, we'll group plants together that grow well in shade. And, of course, as with anything, we recommend that you plant a diverse group of plants.
Well, 4 feet's not very big, so we would definitely recommend the perennial section to begin.
Yeah, 4x4 is not a huge area.
Yep. Exactly. Gail's calling from Holland next. Gail, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gail.
Last week, somebody had a question, and they also brought up these tall weeds with the white flowers and the low foliage.
Hairy bittercress.
How do I get rid of it?
It's a process. When you see the flowers in the spring, it's a little too late for the spring. We really want to treat that plant in August, September. And the reason that is all those little flowers are going to drop tons of seeds, and those little seeds are going to sprout and try to winter through as a little plant. So we want to kill it in August, September, so that it doesn't winter through and it's not there next year.
Okay. So the spread that goes down in spring, that's
not going to do anything for you because those little seeds haven't sprouted and become plants yet.
See, and that's the issue of winter annual weeds that that we try to preach on this show, and that is the time to get after them is in the fall.
Chickweed's another one.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why fall is arguably the most important time of the year for control on weeds.
But the problem is June, July, you don't see them.
Yeah. In August or September.
Yeah, this fall, and it's sometimes even on into October, depending on the season. But, yeah, right now is when we see the flowers, but in the fall, late summer and fall is when we want to take care of them so we don't have them next year.
You know, another one we're going to see real soon, and it has a purple flower, and that is henbit.
Henbit is going to be
rearing. Have you seen henbit yet?
Not yet, but it's we're close.
Yeah, yeah. Same kind of thing, Gail, winter annual.
So what do I put down, though, in the fall?
In the fall, actually, it's you're better off to spray. And I would use something like the Bonide Weed Beater Ultra, which has carfentrazone in it because it works at lower temperatures than other weed killers. And that's a key, too, is when you're using a weed killer, we have to have certain temperatures for certain products to work. If you go with the carfentrazone, it'll work down to 40 degrees.
And then in fall, what are you going to use, Christy?
Well, that's what I was talking about, in the fall.
Oh, in the fall. Okay. In other words, when they're in a rosette stage.
Correct.
Okay.
It's called Bonide Weed Beater Ultra.
Bonide.
Okay.
We put that on your calendar for fall because you'll forget about it.
Yeah.
Because the problem went away. I don't see it anymore.
Right. You won't see the problem, so sometimes we forget about it.
And I always remind people that that's the ideal time of the year if you need to eliminate dandelions also because you'll see them. They're obviously not blooming, but you'll see them. Now, for me, you guys know I love dandelions. They're nutritious. They're tasty. They're pretty. They're great for pollinators. But if you're in Christie's camp and you want to wipe them out.
Well, it's not just that. It are hard to kill weeds like ground ivies and that type of thing. Wood violets. All of that is best treated in the fall.
Yes, exactly.
And you actually have to go around and spray every one?
Well, you can. If they're usually, you'll find them in patches. Usually a lot of people will have these in groups or patches and you spray the patch.
Yeah, it makes for a nice leisurely stroll with a pressure tank sprayer and you're good to go.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Gail. Appreciate
that.
When it comes to weeds, we've got Pull. Another hour of the Flowerland Show coming your way. Keep those calls coming. Give Dusty a call. 616-774-2424 is the number. Another full hour coming up. But first, the news here on the Flowerland Show. Stay tuned.
These guys have been decomposing for years. The Flowerland Garden Show is playing live on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
L.A. proved too much for the man.
Too much for the man. He couldn't make it.
So it's the Flowerland Show on your sunny Saturday morning. He's one of my favorite songs, favorite artists. Have a great story about Gladys Knight, but I'll say
they're good friends.
Yeah. And if you can picture
it. They get together with KC, and, you know, and they have a few beers and talk about the good old days.
Here in the studio, Dusty Miller grabs the mic, and she's playing the role of Gladys Knight. And John, Doug, and myself are the pips in the background. And our moves, Doug,
are deluxe. I get left out of this?
You're just watching us perform.
Is that what we're calling it, a performance? I thought you were having a seizure. I was going to go get something to stick in your mouth.
616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Speaking of midnight, those temperatures overnight,
a
little concerning, although, the time when it gets really rough is between 4 and 7 a.m. on a frosty night.
I usually find 4 and 7 a.m. is a rough time.
Yes, it's a rough time.
Nothing good ever happens after midnight, but 4 to 7 is a really rough time.
You're just getting to bed at that point.
Pretty
right?
much.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's the Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. Make sure to visit myflowerland.com. I've got some information on growing degree days, how things are progressing on the blog at myflowerland.com. Also, look for Flowerland on Instagram and Facebook. And thank you very much. Just a little distracted here because I'm looking at the scoreboard here. It looks like we got a call coming in from France.
Really?
France. Yeah. That'll be interesting. It's the Flowerland Show.
Is it like 3 o'clock
Saturday
in the
morning.
Afternoon there right now?
Something like that. Okay, Rick, Doug, Christie, your Saturday morning engineer, producer extraordinaire, John Ilk at the controls, and Dusty Miller behind the glass. Back to busy phone lines we go, and Linda in Fruitport is next. Linda, good morning. You're on the Flowerland
Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
I need your advice again, as you've given me so many times. We have 5 fruit trees. 3 of them are small enough to cover when we get this freeze, but the 2 big ones, can you give us some suggestions on how we can protect them during the freeze period?
There's a few things you can do. By the way, you wouldn't happen to own a helicopter, would you?
No, we do not.
Okay, too bad. So that check that one off the list.
Okay.
But often, you know, with orchards, they'll fly helicopters,
fans,
move,
yeah,
the air,
move the air,
or big fans, wind machines, heaters and smudge pots. They'll
burn barrels.
Burn barrels. They
you can
will
do your own smudge pots.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you could.
Neighbors might not like it.
Yeah, neighbors might not like it. But generally, it's between 4 and 7 a.m., usually contingent on the frost. And looking forward, here in West Michigan, the problem morning, it looks like, is going to be this coming Thursday morning, maybe a few other mornings, too. But we always look for the skies to clear and the winds to calm, and then we get those damaging frosts. One of the things you could do, and they do in orchards, and our good friend Tom Molker from Molker Orchards has reminded us of this, is that they will cut the grass underneath the trees.
Short.
Short. And they will irrigate both under tree irrigation as well as overhead sprinklers, because that will help too. Now, if you're getting temperatures in the mid to upper 20s, you're going to have a fair amount of ice, which can do some damage probably, right, Doug?
So, you know, that's a trade-off. And that's why I think Tom would say that we do a little bit of both. We don't,
yes,
do a lot because we don't want a lot of ice build.
Yes. And if you are to cover them, just make sure you use a material that isn't going to break branches or do damage to the branches.
And the problem is if you start covering some and you water the others, you make sure the water does not get on those covered ones.
Exactly. Exactly. But, Christy, with the grass cut short,
more heat radiates up from the ground to help keep the surface air a little bit warmer in combination with some other stuff. Now, Doug brought up the burn barrel. If you have access to a barrel and you can do a small smoldery fire, everything you do helps, okay? Every little bit helps. Even changing something 1 degree or 2 degrees can make a major difference.
Hmm. Okay, I guess that doesn't help me because I'm too confused already, but...
Well, what are you confused about?
Well, I don't have access to a burn barrel.
Okay.
There's no grass around my trees. It's all dirt.
Okay.
And
so dirt is fine because we're going to get some radiant heat from the soil.
So sprinkling would be your other alternative,
yes,
then.
Well, question for you.
Okay.
How far are your buds out? Do you see color?
Some yes.
So you're going to probably lose that. The ones that are still tight, obviously, those are still protected.
You're saying those are protected?
Those are still protected, right.
Okay.
Yep. So you might be early enough that not to worry, okay, is what I'm saying. But doing the cover on the little ones, I'd still recommend doing that.
Okay.
Good peace of mind.
Okay.
Yep. And then if all else fails, then think about the irrigation.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
So much.
Appreciate it. 616-774-2424. Our number here on the Flowerland Show. Oh, we lost our caller from France. Too bad. I was going to practice my French
speaking.
Yeah.
So one of the things.
That's the extent of it.
Yeah. So
no,
far,
Croissant.
Au français.
Croissant.
Au français.
And you're really good at French fries, so.
Yes.
You know,
very good.
That's pretty good. But, we're early in the spring, but we have all these little microclimates, and all of our trees are little different stages. And obviously, yep. You know, fruit trees are different because they don't all come out the same day. So, and even with apples, you have seasons maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So, everybody's got to be a little bit different, especially with the cold weather we're talking about next week.
Exactly. And you forgot French toast. I'm an expert
French toast.
At French toast.
Now I'm hungry.
Sherry's calling from Grand Rapids. Sherry,
like
good
bread
morning.
Dipped in sloppy eggs.
You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. How can we help you, Sherry?
Well, I have a hydrangea plant, and I think we planted it last year or 2 years ago, so it's not very big. But I have a thistleweed growing right up the middle of it, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. I thought about digging it up and trying to detangle the thistle from the plant. I wondered if you had a better idea of how to get rid of that thing.
Well, Christy, my method always would be to get on my hands and knees with good rubber gloves or good sturdy leather gloves and get a hold of that Canada thistle right at the base and work that root system out of the ground. I still think that's probably the best way to do that.
And a part of the reason is that those are difficult. It's... Because it's coming up through a plant, you really can't safely apply any kind of herbicide unless you want to get down on your hands and knees with a sponge brush and sponge brush a little bit of herbicide. The problem is those plants are really tough because of the root system. And so it's not going to be like you're going to have a one and done thing. Excavating the root is your best bet.
I agree. I think it's
with
early
heavy
enough,
gloves.
It's early enough in the season. I think your first option is the way to go.
Excavation.
Just right up the middle of the
plant.
Yep. Like, yeah. They always grow in the most inconvenient places.
Yep. And then they reach for the sun, so they'll grow through the plant.
That way you can take a knife or pruners and try to prune to it and kind of do a surgery.
Okay. Very good.
Out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. John is calling from Cedar Springs. John, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
I want to say good morning to the Pips and welcome back the grand Pip of all on our triumphant return back.
Oh, don't do that.
I can tell the bump music we're going to play going to break here.
I think she needs a vacation.
Hey, see, I'm being overrun with periwinkle. It has even taken over my small morel patch in the woods on my back.
Wow.
How can I deal with it? And the neighbor put it in as erosion control when they put a pole barn in about 10 years ago. And I got little patches, big patches of periwinkle here and there, mostly in the shaded areas of the woods.
Yeah.
But a little bit of encroachment into the sunny areas.
Is it is it in bloom right now, John?
Starting. Just starting, ready to break forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And in areas where there's nothing desirable, or even if it is desirable, I mean, depending on how you want to go, you can spray general liquid weed killers in the turf areas and even back into the wooded areas as long as there's nothing there. Like, you know, you don't want to kill trillium and you don't want to kill maples and then, you know, wildflower type things. But if there's nothing desirable there, you can kill it back to a point. If you want to get it back to where your neighbors, all the way back to your neighbor's yard, you can use a product called Ground Clear once you get rid of it and treat it like a basically draw a line in the sand, for lack of a better term. Ground Clear will prevent regrowth for up to a year. And so basically it would keep it from spreading back into your area once you get rid of it. However, in your morel area, you're doing good old elbow grease, ripping it out by hand. Because you are not going to spray anything, even organic, in that morel area that's going to take care of it without doing damage to your little ecosystem where your morels are growing.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Could I rototill it lightly and then kind of rake the roots out, or is that going to propagate it more?
That will propagate it more because the roots are interconnected. They send out little strays. That's how that spreads.
Well, it's doing its job. It's a ground cover.
Yeah.
It just didn't know where to stop. Didn't know where the property line
was. It didn't know where the property line was.
Yeah. It's quite horrid.
Yeah, it is.
But,
and for people keeping score at home, we're talking about periwinkle. Many people refer to it as myrtle. And like my Aunt Myrtle, when she shows up for the holidays, she doesn't know when to leave. And it can get pretty dicey.
But you're right. It is often planted for erosion control because it does spread rapidly and it grows. It takes a lot of rough growing conditions. It doesn't have a lot of pests or disease issues.
Could I over-lime the area, go real heavy on the lime? Does it like
not going to make a bit of difference.
No. The one thing I've found to control is mowing, keeping it that way.
Yeah, if the foliage is unable to absorb sunlight and photosynthesize, you can weaken it also. Yes, good point.
Okay, so if I scalp the ground and don't tear up the roots with the mower on the lowest setting, that might help set it back a little bit?
That does. It does work. It works in my yard. Oh.
And just for you, John, I'm going to ask our engineer, producer extraordinaire, John Ilk, to please cue up Gladys Knight again. As long as we've got the equipment out and Dusty's ready, we're going to
get in line, Rick. Come
Gladys
on.
Knight in the pit.
Left foot first. Come on.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
We know you always lead with your left foot.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But they're both left, so how do you know which one's to use?
That's why it works so well.
Oh, okay.
It's always left.
All right, so let's tone things down a little bit, and we'll mellow it out here, heading to a break. But fate's been kind. If only you could see us in the studio now. It's the Flower Land Show. Quick break, back after this.
I guess you could say that
change your mind.
Take a chance
on the first in line.
Take a chance, take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance
on me.
If you plant it, mow it, or grow it, they know it. Now, more of Rick, Doug, and Christy and the Flowerland Garden Show on Wood Radio.
If you're all alone.
My friend, you're in for a root awakening. It's the Flowerland Show. Rick, Doug, Christy. Earlier in the show, we were calculating this week marks 45 years for me in the garden center industry. Doug, 44 years. Christy, 31 years, right?
Yep.
So you combine the three of us, that's 120 years old.
Actually, if you count the times I drove the tractor when we baled hay, it's been longer than that.
There you go.
I did that when I was 9.
Dusty Miller, 3 years. That's a total of 123 years. Point is, we're tired. So if you're looking for a job, apply at a Flowerland store today.
I need minions to train in my image. Sorry.
Goodness gracious. Doug, what is she drinking?
I don't know, but she's got all three of them popped open now. So
all
just
three cans are open.
Yeah.
There's a process here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever? No, never mind. I'm not going to bring it up. Have you ever had a cocktail where they mix it
in your
mouth?
Thought you were
going to
bring it up.
Oh my!
It's kind of the same principle.
Let's get to the phone lines. Terry is calling us. By the way, that's why we're playing ABBA because they were big
back in the 70s.
Yeah, when Doug and I were youngsters, and ABBA is so classic, it's still good today, just like Gladys Knight and the Pips. All right, Terry is calling this morning from Howard City. Terry. Good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. What's going on?
I was wondering how early mushrooms came up around.
It's all going to depend.
I found about 3 days ago.
Yeah, it's all going to depend on the weather, Terry. To this point, the weather's been a little bit early, but now things have cooled off. In general, in southwest Michigan, you're looking at late April into the month of May. Most people consider the month of May being morel mushroom time, but sometimes you will get them.
But we're hearing reports the last couple of weeks already.
Exactly.
So.
But that we were ahead of schedule, growing degree days, and so the mushrooms don't have a calendar, so they go, oh, hey, it's warm enough,
ground
here
temperature,
I am.
Temperature, the moisture's there, let's do it.
Exactly.
But you figure if you found a few now going into May, you're going to find the majority of them.
Okay, I found like 32 of them.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's great. Don't tell anybody where you found them, Terry. You'll draw a crowd.
I won't tell them it was right by my fire pit.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Well, you're going to draw a crowd anyway because you got a fire pit.
Not much room for improvement there. Thank you for your call, Terry, and good luck to you. 616-774-2424. Yeah, I went for a run along the Kent Trail, and the Mayapple, the Trilliums were in bloom. The trout lily's just gorgeous.
Mine are all flowery, and you can look back through the woods and see all the little dots and flowers, and it's kind of cool looking.
No, it's
and the good thing is the trees will give them some protection against the cool weather that's coming.
Yeah.
Gary's calling from Rockford. Gary, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have many large clumps of ornamental grass that are now interfering with my other plants, and I want to spray them with cleanup to kill them off because there's so much that digging them out is impossible. And I wonder, do I have to chop down the old dead stalks and wait till the new ones green up before I spray that?
Well,
I was going to say your best bet is to chop down the old stalks. And if you have ornamental grasses that you're going to keep, you would do that right now and cut them back. But your best bet, in my opinion, I mean, how many of these do you have? Because your best bet's going to be to cut them back and dig them out.
Oh, probably 50 to 100.
Yeah, okay. See, there's... Here's the problem. Yes,
Aquanet.
The short answer is yes, you have to wait till there's green growth. That being said, the root system on ornamental grasses is so extensive that a product like cleanup isn't going to touch them.
That's my opinion.
It's going to laugh at that.
Correct.
It's kind of like trying to kill a yucca.
So at that point, just keep mowing them.
Well, keep them cut down. This fall, you can dig into the middle of the plant down by the root system, and use a brush killer on the root system to take it out. Okay. But right now, you're not gonna touch them. I mean, you can go out there and spray to make yourself feel better, but it's gonna do nothing to that plant.
If I had that many of them, I would rent a dingo and dig them out.
They won't let you rent heavy equipment.
Oh, come on!
Who are you trying to kid?
Come on. And that would be loads of fun, too, Gary. Those things are fun to operate.
The dingo ate his ornamental grass.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, save me a lot of time by spraying then.
Yeah, it's not going to touch them, so you're kind of just wasting your time and money anyway.
Okay. All right.
Good luck to you, Gary. Thank you. I think we ruined his day.
Well, let's be realistic, though. There are just some things that you can't spray away.
Correct.
I keep squirting Doug with Lysol. He's still here.
I still think Aquanet.
Oh, that's just fun. Aquanet and a lighter.
But
you got
100 to do.
Yeah, but that would be awesome.
How many cans would you take, huh?
Do not do this in your neighborhood. Do not try this.
Case.
Yeah.
We do not endorse this behavior.
Oh, Rick.
We now rejoin the Flowerland Show
progress. It's like that disclaimer they run on the bottom of car commercials. Do not attempt this. This is a train driver in a closed course.
Correct.
I'm trained in the use of Aquanet and a lighter.
Careful.
Also, breath spray and a lighter.
Christy.
Oh, sorry.
Christy. I think this is a good point to take a break. We'll update you on the news. If you're on hold, we'll get to you here shortly. And our number is 616-774-2424. It's the Flowerland Show on your Saturday morning. By the way, coming up in the next hour, we got to touch on the oak trees, ornamental grass in Las Vegas, and a shaggy burglar in a Pasadena home. All that coming up in the next half hour here on the Flowerland Show. The news is next.
Lost under the surface. Don't know what you're expecting of me.
It's Open Lawn Saturday, and the Flowerland Garden Show is taking your calls now at 616-774-2424. Now more of Wood Radio's Flowerland Garden Show.
All right, maintain your composture. We're here for you. Rick, Doug, Christy, the Flowerland Show. Go to myflowerland.com, post it on the blog there. And, of course, look for Flowerland on Instagram and Facebook.
Shake your booty. Shake your booty.
We were talking about me starting 45 years ago in the garden center industry. John started in radio in 2004. Christy, 31 years. Doug, 44 years. Doug, when you and I were starting out, the average cost of a new house was $43,000.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
It's not even a down payment now, is it?
Monthly rent, $220. Cost of a gallon of gas, 59 cents. Isn't that amazing? 59 cents. Wow. And you could buy a...
Yeah, but when you guys started working, wasn't minimum wage like $2 an hour?
Yeah, I started
at... less than $2.
Oh, okay.
I started at $1.95 and a half cent. That was my starting
wage. Half cent?
Yes, it was. That was my starting wage. By the way, at that time, you could buy a men's sports jacket for $37 and a Plymouth Arrow you could drive away for $3,000.
But who would want to?
You might not return, but you could drive away for $3,000.
And I saw the sports coats you used to wear. They're not worth $37.
Oh, knock it off. And a Polaroid camera for $28.
Now that would be worth it.
1976. Back to busy phone lines we go, and we're going to talk to John and Walker next. John, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. What's up?
Hey, I have some potted plants from last year and yanked all the peppers and different things that were in them out of it. And I'm wondering, can I reuse that soil?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Now, we'll see what Doug and Christy think. Let me mention this. What I have become familiar with doing is maybe using half of it or amending that soil with Dairy Dew.
And that was going to be my suggestion, is amending. The only exception would be is if you have a lot of really like white crusty stuff across the top, that can be an indication of salt buildup in the soil. Yeah. And so we're really leery of reusing salts that are, or soils that are heavily saturated in salt. Then you'd want to take out a little more than half and mix fresh, clean soil in with it. But if you don't have that salty buildup, I agree with Rick. You could amend it with Dairy Dew, or you could just amend it, add more organic matter. Soil gets tired just like we do.
Yeah, so the question is, how much volume are you talking? Are you talking small pockets, or are you talking a big garden? If you're talking...
five-gallon plant.
Yes.
Five-gallon pot.
If it was me, I'd start all over again. I really would.
Okay.
It's not that much soil, and you're going to use it anyways. It benefits the plant.
What is a good soil to purchase that's affordable? Because, you know, that stuff seems to be pricey, you know?
Well, and it's not the soil that's pricey. It's driving it from one place to the other that adds the cost to it because it's heavy.
But there is value in good soil, good potting soil. So, you know, some got polymers in it. So if you stayed away from that, that keeps the cost down. It really depends what's in that ground. So, you know.
Well, it's true. If you're going to build a house, you're going to invest in a good foundation.
A little commercial for Flowerland real quick. We do have 1 cubic foot bags of ProMix, which is an awesome brand, and it's on sale for $8.99 a bag this week. So,
ka-ching. There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a 1 cubic foot bag, and so, yeah. And it's an excellent mix. A lot of growers use ProMix just because it's got a good history.
Thank you. I'll keep you in mind. And last summer, I was listening to your program, and folks were sending in photos and stuff. And I really wanted to send some photos of some Amish paste tomatoes I had that were more than 12 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
My secret is chicken poo.
Okay. John, you can send if you still have them, you can send them to info@myflowerland.com.
No one could believe it. I couldn't keep them up after they were at 10 feet, and they started to just go back down, and they were almost halfway growing back. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Good old indeterminate tomatoes. They don't set a terminal.
Need a ladder to pick them.
grow and grow and grow. John, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Harriet's calling from West Olive. Harriet, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Hello.
Hello. How can we help you?
You were talking about that nice little white weed, and you were using the Bonide Weed Buster or something like that.
Weed?
Can you use that? Like, I have a wall that's covered with dragon's blood.
No.
And that weed is all... Okay, that's what I was wondering.
It kills everything but grass. I guess that's the best way to say it. It's safe to use in turf. But anything that has a non-grass blade surface, it will do damage to.
Okay. What can I use then? Anything?
It's going to be, you can do the sponge brush method. Basically, you can see where the little whorls of leaves are on the ground. And you can take a sponge brush or a very directed pressure tank sprayer and just spray that little whorl of leaves.
See, and that's what I would do if the temperature is warm enough and the air is calm and you have a pressure tank sprayer and you adjust the tip nozzle, you can go through and zap those weeds. You may have a little bit of damage here and there.
But it'll outgrow
to
that.
To the dragon's blood sedum, but it's gonna outgrow that.
Okay.
That's going to be much easier for you, okay?
Okay, all right. What do you think about rabbit manure as adding to your soil?
Rabbit manure is not a problem because that's a non-burning manure. We want to stay away from hot manures or fresh manures, but rabbit is one of those ones that is non-burning.
And rabbits eat vegetation.
Okay. Correct. They love alfalfa pellets for pet rabbits, and wild rabbits eat vegetation.
Exactly.
Like my plants.
Thanks for your call, Harriet. Appreciate it. Have a great Saturday. All right. Thank you very much. Pasadena Home in California. Brown Bear thought he'd struck gold, an open door, an empty kitchen, and a fridge stocked with food. But two tiny terriers rose to the moment as if their lives and kibble depended on it. Mimi and Squirt.
Really?
Yeah. Chased this bear out of the house. and it's all caught on camera, so it became
I would call it a so-so media thing.
No, social media. I was going to say social security, but that's because I talked to my dad yesterday, so it's stuck in my head.
I thought he was just
going to
say it was a so-so media thing. Yeah, it's a so-so media thing.
Social media. Anyhow, so there you have that in California. And then Las Vegas is pushing to become the first city to ban grass, ornamental grass. The desert city built on a reputation for excess and indulgence wants to be a model for, they're calling it, restraint and conservation.
But now when they say ornamental grass, they're not talking like we say ornamental grass.
Nope, they're talking about turf.
But not in people's
grass
yards.
Walk on.
They're not talking about people's yards either. They're talking about the little green spots in the parkways.
Public right-of-ways, all that sort of thing. They want to eliminate it so they don't
aren't
have to
allowed
walk.
To walk on it anyway. So.
Exactly.
It's for looks. Come on.
So we'll follow that.
We can go through watts and watts and watts of kilowatts of energy lighting up billboards and signs and sparkly lights, and we can have fountains spewing water up into the air, but we can't have little bits of green grass.
I don't create the news, Christy. I just report it. And then oak trees, you're going to start seeing them leaf out now. Oak trees are just amazing. And, of course, caterpillars. The genus is Quercus. And there's 90-plus North American species, about 435 worldwide. It's a long-lived, very large tree, so very important to our ecosystem. And, of course, very, very important to caterpillars. The birds love the caterpillars. Oak trees support 897 caterpillar species in the United States. Is that amazing or what? I mean, I believe
that's
it.
That's a few, yeah.
And birds forage longer in oak trees.
It's a good thing that oaks are huge and tough, because usually caterpillar damage does nothing to them.
Yeah, but they're not all huge and tough. That's the cool thing. I went to a seminar this winter on these oaks. Incredible, the number of species worldwide.
Oh, unreal. Unreal. And, of course, you have the heavy masting years, where they produce tremendous amounts of acorns, and that's cyclical too, so it's quite a tree. And one thing that I didn't know in my research is that oaks and blue jays get along well. Isn't that interesting?
Oaks and
jays have evolved together. They say, as a matter of fact, the jays grew so adapted to life alongside oaks that a small hook at the tip of their bill is designed to rip open an acorn husk.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? So the bird's expanded esophagus can hold up to 5 acorns?
You couldn't hold 5 acorns. You'd choke.
That'd be tough. Exactly. So that's quite amazing. So there you go. A shout out.
Gone nuts.
And tribute to the amazing oak tree. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to you here in just a moment. Or give us a call. Dusty will line you up, 616-774-2424. And after the break, as we do every week, we're going to have a little sing-along. The sun is shining. It's spring 2021. Put a smile on your face and then more of your calls. It's the Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
Wood Radio's Flowerland Garden Show is on the air on News Radio Wood 1300 at 106.9 FM.
All right, my friends, the Flowerland Show. Time flies when you're having fun. I mentioned this is 45 years for me, and 1976, when I started in the garden center industry, here was one of the big things that happened that year. Think about it. The Apple Computer Company is formed by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. Isn't that something? Mm. 1976.
The great and powerful Woz.
Isn't that something? Wow. Well, thank you very much for tuning in the Flowerland Show. Make sure to look for the podcast so you can share it with friends and neighbors. Just go to myflowerland.com. Right now, we want to hear you sing, so let's hear it. Like a rhinestone. Well, my friends, you sound wonderful this morning, and isn't it amazing to see the June berries, the pear trees, the cherries, everything in bloom? It's spring 2021. All right, let's get back to phone lines. We do have an open line if you want to jump on it, 616-774-2424. Marilyn is calling us from Grand Rapids. Marilyn, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
I have a question. I volunteer in the memorial garden at my church,
okay.
And we are being overrun with wild chives.
Ah.
And I know you can dig them out, but, I mean, it's just too big of a problem, and I wondered if there was any herbicide that may help me out with the project.
Have you considered a potluck at church where you use copious amounts of chives in the recipes?
Well, if we could gather at church, that might be a consideration.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, Zoom. Rick.
Because they've been used in potlucks since, 5,000 B.C. You know, this is one of the oldest plants known to men and used medicinally as well.
Medicinally, too.
And medicinally.
Yeah. No, the key with controlling them with any kind of spray, and you can get organic herbicides for, you know, I don't know if this is an ornamental bed or if this is something that's a food production, but you can get ornamental herbicide or organic herbicides. But the key with anything like chives is you have to bruise the flesh. In other words, that green leaf. And a lot of people will take and they'll use a weed whacker, or some people will take a golf club and go out and just smack it around with a golf club, depending on how big of an area you have to do. But we got to get that flesh to look wet and kind of juicy. That opens up the cuticle of the leaf so that the actual herbicide can get inside of there. Otherwise, it just rolls off like water on a wax car. And it doesn't do anything for you.
Okay.
Yeah, and when you chop them up or bruise them, Christy, they create this distinctive gas. You know, they mingle.
I'm not going to say anything.
Gas emitting bacteria. Well, they do.
Rick.
It's sulfur compounds. It's sulfur compounds. What's so funny about that? Nature, you know, welcome to nature.
Welcome to nature.
Right? Welcome to nature.
Well, creates gas.
Good luck to you, Marilyn.
Well, can I get those organic herbicides from the Flowerland?
Yes, you can. We have several different ones to choose from.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Appreciate that. 616-774-2424. Let's talk to Julie, who's calling from Leroy. Julie, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is in regards to the old-fashioned bleeding hearts.
Yes.
And I've had these for a number of years, and they're getting tired. I've never divided them.
Okay.
And I've been reading up a little bit on it, but a little scared to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are probably up about 6 inches now. I've read where you can do it in spring or fall, but wondered in northern Michigan, is it better to do it in the fall or is spring okay?
Yeah, Julie, here in the Grand Rapids area, I'm seeing them just absolutely beautiful right now. In sunny, warmer areas like along roadsides, that sort of thing. Just gorgeous. And that's part of the reason they recommend fall is because fall would be the ideal time for an old-fashioned bleeding heart. Could you do it now? Absolutely, you could do it now. But, of course, they're going to be blooming for you soon. Like you said, yours are up about 6 inches. I would enjoy the blooms and wait to do that division in fall if it were me.
And then super amend your soil. Really get a lot of good organic matter in there before you replant them.
Okay, and then when you do divide them, it's like, you know, like I said, they're tired. So I have areas that are more sparse. Can I replant in those same areas then
Absolutely.
With a few that are divided off?
Absolutely. You dig the whole clump out of the ground. Dig the whole clump out of the ground, and then you're going to be able to see how you can divide them with a sharp spade and replant them. So can you do it right now? Yes. Best time, fall.
Okay.
I
appreciate it.
Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Diana is calling from Belding. Diana, you're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just wondering if I have to protect my perennials that are breaking ground if we're going to get snow next week.
How long have they been in the ground, Diana?
Oh, I have Simisifuga that's been in its bed for years.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They're hardened
off.
What
about my hostas? I have a couple of obedient plants that I just put in last spring.
Don't worry about it. Take hostas, for example, okay? Last year, we got a killing frost on May 9th. It got into the mid-20s. At that point,
that was
by
a freeze.
May 9th.
That wasn't a frost.
A freeze.
And it really did a job on some of my hostas.
Correct.
But it didn't kill them.
The hostas have unfurled by that point. It will significantly melt and damage the foliage, but the plant will produce new foliage over the course of the growing season. It won't be as large, but it will produce it. If it's in the pip stage where it's just coming out of the ground, hasn't unfurled yet, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, the other thing with hostas, a lot of times it's underneath trees. It's next to the house. Okay,
yeah.
It is somewhat protected already, so I wouldn't worry about a lot of your perennials that are coming up.
Okay. So and then what about, I have some of my Simisifuga is away from a building, and it's on a back property line, and then I have wild columbine in there too, which is leafed out.
You may get a little bit of damage, but we're going to let nature take its course.
Right.
And remember, when you cover them, if you're going to cover them, you have to tent them properly. You have to secure the plastic or whatever it is, especially if there's some wind.
And if you feel like doing it, do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you know,
hey,
just don't let the plastic touch the foliage and the whole bit.
I use some effort into this. I use like a paper sheeting type.
Yeah,
product.
There you go. Just make sure that they're tented properly. And thanks for your call, Diana. Appreciate it. Tom's calling from Fremont. Tom, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show. Whoops. Hang on a minute. Tom calling from Fremont. Hi, Tom.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. What's up?
I've got a question about grass. Last year I had a horrible try with some mold, and they were just popping up everywhere all over the yard. And right now I'm reseeding all the spots where they came up. And I'm just wondering, is there anything I can do here early in the season to prevent them from coming into the yard before they actually start popping up?
Actually, yes, you can get a mold. We carry Ima's Garden mold and vole repellent, And what you do is you do a 3 to 4 foot wide band around the outer edge of the yard once a month, and that keeps them from coming into the area. Okay. Now, that's assuming that you don't already have them in your area, because a lot of people are already having problems with them.
Right. I haven't seen them yet this year, but like I said, they were all over the yard. It looked like they were coming in from the neighbor's yard. I think that might be a good idea.
I think Christy's suggestion is good and a barrier. Thanks for your call, Tom. We're at the top of the hour. Christy, can people apply crabgrass pre-emergent right now?
Oh, plenty of time. The soil has cooled down so much, we probably are going to be looking at May, the first part of May, before it's all over and done. But I would do it now because we're going to get moisture. And again, it has to be watered in.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Doug. Thank you, Dusty Miller. And thanks most of all to you, our friends, our entrepreneur friends across the fruited and rooted plain. MyFlowerland.com podcast right there. Share it and have a great weekend. We'll see you.
You can't go. All the plants are going to die.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.